Praise God. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 through to verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 to 31. And I've entitled the message today, "The Lord is my refuge and my strength."
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
Praise God.
Amen. What a promise. What a promise.
Yeah.
What a powerful word. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. So no matter what situation we're in, no matter what circumstances, we've just heard as well where Leisha's working, that one of the workers is there being told they've got coronavirus, and one of the staff members has. But you know, we need to declare and proclaim that the Lord is my refuge.
He is
my strength. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. Yeah. He's the one who sets us free. Yeah. He's the one who brings life. He's the one who quickens this mortal body. You know, and this is the God that we serve. And so today, let us be encouraging one another in this. Let's encourage ourselves in the things of God.
Amen.
And know the power of God. You know, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus cannot be a pessimist.
Amen.
You know, you've always got to be believing and going forward. We cannot be pessimists. So much on Facebook, so much on the media, there's pessimism, there's negativeness going on all the time, constantly pulling down even our own nation. And it's time that we came to a point where we started to exalt the name of the Lord our God. It's time that we came to the point where we began to shout the victory.
Amen.
Because in Christ we have the victory.
Yeah.
And it's time after time after time after time, we have the victory.
Yeah.
Christ died on the cross and he died for a victory.
Yeah.
And the victory is ours.
Yeah.
You know, we are the inheritance of Christ Jesus. We are the ones who live in that victory of the cross.
Amen.
We're not living in the defeat of a tomb. We're living in the victory of a resurrected Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, we've got to come to a point when we're going to be always trusting, always believing, confident that the hand of God is for us and not against us.
Amen.
You know, let the words
of
God be upon our lips. You know, we've spoken even recently in the Bible studies in James how the fact that, you know, the tongue is a powerful instrument.
Yeah.
Where is it going to direct us? Where is it going to focus us?
Yeah.
Where is it going to press us?
Mm.
What is it going to shape in our lives? And it needs to be shaping faith. It needs to be shaping that God is the God who can do great and mighty things and convince us that we can move forward in God.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at Isaiah 41 and verse 10, and the word of the Lord to Isaiah there is saying, "Do not fear, for I am is with you."
The I am
is with us. It is not just a God with a small G, but it is the God with a capital G.
Yeah.
He's with us. He said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he's there for us. He said, "Do not anxiously look about you." Don't be anxious. The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, giving thanks unto God. Amen? And we need to continue giving thanks unto God.
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't be anxious looking about you, for I am is your God. I am is with you."
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
He's our God. He says, and then he goes on, and God says to him, I will strengthen you. Surely, I will help you. The I am will help you. When Moses said to God, when God met him at that time in the burning bush, he said, who shall I tell him who sent me? He says, tell him I am.
I am.
He is the I am. No matter what we are in, difficulties we're in, no matter what situations and circumstances we are in at the time, it is the I am that sent us. It is the I am who has the answers. It is the I am who will bring us through. It is He who is on the throne that will bring us through into victory and strength in Christ. Amen. And so today, you know, don't let your thoughts be negative. Don't let you be bombarded by the negativity of the world. But let your thoughts be that the I am is with me.
Amen.
And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Continuing in that verse, then he says, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
You know, if we're about to stumble, he is there. He's holding us. He's grabbed hold of us. He's got a grip of us. He's holding us tight and he's holding us firm. You know, we might begin, our grip might slip, but he's holding us.
Mm-hmm.
His grip is firm.
Yeah.
His surety of holding us tight and bringing us to that place where he wants to bless us and move through us in strength and power. So it's the I am today that walks through our lives. It's the I am who brings us into a real relationship. It's the I am that brings us to that point of don't fear. Because when a child is with its father and it's old and the father holds the hand of the child is not afraid.
Because
the security, the trust is in the Father. And today our trust and security should not be in the things of this world, but should be in that of the Father, the I am, because he is there for us and to bless us and to do us good. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 says this, the Eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and shall say, destroy them not. You know, he shall say, God is for us. The Eternal God is our refuge. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The Eternal God is our refuge and strength, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So no matter what circumstance, no matter what situations we get into, the everlasting arms are there. He's there protecting us. He's there covering us. He's reaching out to us that we might know the presence and the power of God in our lives. Proverbs 18 and verse 10 says this, the name of the Lord, the I am, is a strong tower. Hallelujah. And it says, the righteous run into it and is safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to run anywhere, run to the I am. Mm-hmm. If you're going to run anywhere, run to God. Run to the Lord God, our Creator. He is the strong tower. He's the great protection. He's the one who covers us. You know, I remember as a child, there used to be an advert on TV, and it was an insurance advert. And it used to have a little bit of a sketch, and this guy used to walk into this turret of a tower built like a little castle, and he'd walk into that tower, and he'd climb up to the top of it, he'd lean over the top of the tower, and he'd tap on the side of it. He said, strong stuff, this insurance. Well, let me tell you this, in Christ Jesus, it's strong stuff, this word of God.
Amen.
It's strong stuff, this word of God. It is that name which is above every name, which will strengthen us, which will encourage us, which brings us to a place of a presence and of anointing and a protection and a covering of God that His hand is upon us. You know, if you believe you have a purpose in life, if you believe you have a destiny in life, under the arms of God, then you know that you're safe and secure. But we do with the right things, and we understand that. But at the same time, We have to be bold in faith. We have to trust God. I remember, and I've told you before about John G. Lake when he said, put that tuberculosis on my hands. And the thing began to die when the anointing touched it. And everything that is against God, everything that is against the people of God, when it comes against us, will break into pieces, will shatter and die. Because that is the anointing, that is the power of the anointing of God and working in people's lives. You know, I was just pondering today, and I was reminded of the lady that we prayed for in Romania in 2016 with cervical cancer. And, you know, I wrote down in this little booklet that I'm preparing to remind us of things and tell others of what God has done. But I wrote and I said, you know, it was a healing from God. And the Lord stopped me and said, no, it wasn't. It wasn't a healing. It was a miracle. Because she was going for an operation. But our God, he said no. And he turned it around and he recreated that cervix and made it anew. It was a miracle. It wasn't a healing, it was a miracle. And we serve a miracle working God. The Lord is my refuge and he is my strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Church, the church needs to come to a place. The church needs to come to an anointing of the Spirit of God on their lives. I'm going to rephrase that. The disciples of the Lord Jesus need to come to a place of deep relationship, of anointing in Christ, where that as we travel and move around, everything we touch, God begins to move. There's such a place where we reach in ourselves in God, the place that we draw into that close relationship, that we run to him, that the anointing begins to flow in such a wonderful way.
Mm.
God wants to do great things. God wants this world to see who he really is.
Amen.
This is what, you know, the church, the disciples of the Lord Jesus should be about. It's not a program. It is a relationship. It's something deeper than just coming to know Christ, but it is coming into a love relationship, into a power relationship. Because Jesus said, I give you all power and all authority in my name. And so, come on, church. Well, let us move forward. Let us press in.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. And it says this. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land.
Amen.
Let's pray that today our nation begins to turn back to God.
Yeah.
Let's pray that there will be a turning and that the people in our nation will begin to humble themselves. And that we will see the face of God.
Yeah.
And that God will turn this virus away from the nation. That God will do a work in our nation. And that God, by his mighty hand, it will be seen. You know, God is a God of the impossible.
Yeah.
You know, let God move. Let God do great and mighty things. And so let's believe God is well able. And God says if we repent, if we turn to him, and we do. Our nation needs to turn back to God. They've got so caught up in the material things and pursuit of lifestyle. And suddenly, they're locked down. Lord, I pray that there'll be a change in the direction of people's hearts and lives in this nation.
Amen.
You know, God has put you and me, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, he's put us here so that we might begin to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. And God has put us to reign, not in our own strength, to rule nor in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. You know, God gave Adam a spirit. And God gave Adam the authority to rule over God's creation in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And so, the church, the calling of each individual disciple is to rule and to reign in the things of God, that we might be as it was in the beginning, so it shall be. That God intends to repair, to restore, to bring back to birth what it was like, what his intended plan was, to rule and to reign.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Let's look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. The book of Mark chapter 4, the gospel, and verse 38. And this is the story of Jesus when he's said to the disciples, come, let us go to the other side. And it says, and Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Of course he cared. He called them to be his disciples. He called them to be his followers. He called them for a plan, for a purpose for their lives, to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. And so he says in verse 39, and he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?
Yeah.
You know, we need to say to things around at the moment, hush, hush, let's hear the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to the circumstance, speak to the situations, and tell it to hush. Mm-hmm. Let us hear the voice of God. Let us know the voice that speaks calm. Let us know the voice that speaks peace into our lives. We need today to be constantly feeding our faith with the Word of God. We need to move to a place of divine authority in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be the people of God, taking upon ourselves the mantle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the light and to be the peace in this world.
Amen.
Of troubled times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Elijah was taken up, Elisha wanted his mantle.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus has been taken up, but he's placed his mantle.
Amen.
He's placed his anointing upon his disciples. And today we need to reclothe ourselves. We need to reclothe our minds. We need to reclothe our bodies with that mantle, that anointing of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
That
Amen.
We might be the light, that we might be the peace to this troubled world.
Amen.
And God wants us to move in the divine authority of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God wants us to press through into that relationship. You are called to it. You are called into it. And you are called to do it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so the calling is upon each and every one of us to press into that.
Amen.
And you can't just sit back and do nothing. It is a calling. It is your privilege. It is your right.
Amen.
It is your anointing. Don't miss out on it. Reach out. Go forward for it. Take it upon yourself. It's not that you're trying to rise above who you are or who you think you are. It is your divine right, it is your appointed inheritance in Christ Jesus to take upon the mantle of Christ. To be the Christ to your neighbours. To be the Christ to those that you work with. To be the Christ in the circumstances where God places you. And as you be the Christ, then the Christ will magnify himself and will be glorified and his presence will be seen in you and through you. The book of Revelation tells us that the Lamb has overcome the enemy. He's
Amen.
Been victorious. He is victorious. And he has overcome the enemy.
Amen.
You know, in the days of the great fire in Chicago that literally burnt just about all of Chicago, it says that after that fire the next day, 200 men committed suicide. And it was just mass hysteria going through that city. And the next day, the the old Chicago Tribune came out with a big red letter headline. And this is what it said on the headline. It said, "Any coward can commit suicide, but it takes a man to live under these conditions."
Yes.
Amen? And so we have to realize it's not about, don't bail out of your responsibilities. Don't hand it over to somebody else. Because God has made you, God has equipped you, God has called you to take on that responsibility. God has prepared you to move into that place of responsibility. God is calling you right now. Let's not back off. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be ashamed. But let's take on that responsibility and say, "Yes, Lord. You called my name as Samuel. When God called him, said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And let's get to that place where we're hearing the voice of God and we're saying, "Yes, Lord, speak, for your servant hears." Let's be the anointed ones. Let's walk in that anointed. Let us be the ones that will bring a refuge and a strength to people in our nation, in the areas where we work. You know, Abraham Lincoln, when he was assassinated, the city of New York was about to go into a point of rioting. But he says a man named James A. Garfield appeared on a veranda of one of the hotels. And he lifted up his arms and he said these words, "God is our king, and the government at Washington still lives."
Amen.
It says, and suddenly a great calm came upon the city.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember today, God is our king. Amen. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we need to rejoice in that. We need to stay focused on that and realize
Amen.
That today, that as we wait on the Lord, we will gain new strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That strength is there to quicken us, to bring us to a place of anointing in God. That is there so that we will mount up with eagle's wings, that we will run and not become tired, that we will walk in the presence of the Lord and do the work of the kingdom and not become weary in doing that work. And as we press on in that, we shall see God moving mightily in power.
Amen.
You know, if you look in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 68, John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have words of eternal life."
Amen.
It was at this point where people were leaving Jesus. A great crowd had been following him. And suddenly they began to turn away from him because he challenged them. Don't turn away from the challenge. Don't turn away from the challenge that God places before us. You know, many people left him. They found his teachings, as we read on screen, it says, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept this?" And they were aware, his disciples were grumbling about it. And Jesus said to him, "Does this offend you? Then what shall we see?" What shall, just lower that down, Dan. I'm reading it. Trying to, praise God. And you know, we realize that Simon Peter said, "To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, you're the Holy One of God. Amen.
Yeah.
And when we see that, when we see what God is, what Jesus is saying to his disciples and the response, that should be our response.
Mm.
Where else do we have to go?
Mm.
We tried the world. It failed us.
Yeah.
It failed us. But we're trying, you know, Jesus is the one who has eternal life. Jesus is the one who has the word that brings us to a place of eternal life. And Jesus is the one who brings a victory into our lives. Whilst I was pondering today as well on this, a chorus came into my mind. And it goes like this. One of them is, I have a destiny, and I know I shall fulfill.
Amen.
I have a destiny. It's a city on a hill. You know, God has a destiny. Before we get to the eternal city, God has a destiny. God has a journey for each and every one of us to travel. Praise His wonderful name. And our soul needs to rest in that confidence of the living God, knowing that He is in control.
Amen.
He's in control of our destiny. He's in control of our thought, of our future, as we focus on Him. You know, we should be just focusing on our eternal relationship, and as we focus on our eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus, then we shall see Him beginning to work out His plans and purposes in our lives and for our lives, for the sake of the kingdom, because it's about His kingdom, it's not about you and me.
Mm.
And another chorus came to mind whilst I was just pondering as well this afternoon, and it was, put your hands in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the seas. Mm. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the Master, the man of Galilee. Amen?
Amen.
So, we have got to place our hands. In other words, we've got to put our trust in Him. We've got to believe that He is well able to keep us. He is well able to provide for us. He is well able to do great and mighty things. But it is about you and I trusting Him. It is about you and I knowing His presence in our lives day by day. And it's developing a deeper walk with the Lord Jesus. And let's just turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. 31, Matthew 6. Verse 31, and he says there, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, then saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And verse 34, therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. No matter what happens, you and I have a future in God. We have an eternity in Christ. We know that our future is secure in Christ Jesus. We know that He's there to bless us, to work through our lives, to take us forward. But it is about this thing of trust. Don't be anxious. Rest in His presence. Rest in His anointing power. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, cast all your anxiety upon Him, Jesus, because He cares for you.
Yeah.
We have to realize that this relationship as disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus, is very personal.
Yeah.
It is very intimate.
Yeah.
That He wants you and I to walk with Him in that intimacy, in that deep relationship of walking with Him. And to know Him whom to know is life eternal. To know Him who is peace. To know Him who is joy. To know Him who is our refuge. And to know Him who is our strength. You know, at times we might feel that we're weakening at times. We might feel somewhat stressed at times with the lockdown and feeling somewhat afraid. But you know, He's with you. He's strengthening you. He's there by your side. Talk to him. Allow him to talk back to you, and in doing so, you'll find the presence of God coming into our lives in a greater way. He wants to bless you. He wants you to know him whom to know is life eternal. He wants you to know the power of his resurrection life, working in you, working for you, working with you. God is there to bless us, to encourage us. Take on board that he's your refuge and strength. Do not be afraid.
Amen.
He loves you. He cares for you. He's there for you. And just let the presence of God flow in your life. Let the power of God flow in your life. Let the love of God fill the presence of the arms of God around you. And know him in a wonderful way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he's the God who cares for his creation. He's the God who loves each and every one of us. And he's just reaching out and he's calling your name. Thank God he knows your name. Thank God he knows every hair upon our head. He knows everything about it. He knows us from the... He says he knew us before we were even born. Before we were even conceived, he knew us. Wow. That blew my mind when I first realized that he knew me before even my mother and father knew anything about me. He knew me before my natural parents knew each other. He knew me, he says, before the foundations of the world were created. Wow. We were already on his mind. God was already planning our future.
Yeah.
God had already got it arranged for us. I tell you what, when you start to think like that, when you start to appreciate that God has already got these things planned before anything existed, wow.
Yeah.
That is a mind-blowing thought.
Yeah.
And that today, he's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our strength. He's already prepared tomorrow for you and I to walk into.
Yeah.
And to walk in it in victory. Because Christ has won that victory. And let us walk in that victory and know the presence and power of him in our lives to a greater level than we've ever known before. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. And whatever you do, say tonight before you go to bed three times, the Lord is my refuge and my strength.
Amen.
And my deliverer.
Amen.
Just do that and just remind yourself. Tell your soul to rejoice that your Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your Redeemer lives. And rejoice in that mighty presence of Jesus. Amen.
Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
Praise God.